Well, could I invite you to take the Word of God with me, please, and turn to the book of Matthew and the chapter 7. And just for a few moments this evening, as we come to a conclusion of our meeting, I'd like to draw your attention to a passage I trust will be a blessing. And I understand that this is a youth meeting tonight, and everyone's been welcome, and so grateful to see each one who's out tonight. We trust the Word of God will speak to all of us and perhaps be a challenge. As I was preparing for this, I felt very much led to this passage. And I don't know, I hope that this is a message that applies to no one in this building tonight. Now, that may seem strange for a preacher to say that he hopes his sermon does not apply to anyone. But this message does apply to those, I think, as we read our passage that you'll be familiar with in just a moment. But if perhaps the Lord is speaking to someone tonight and using this passage, then it's well worth hearing the Word of God and asking ourselves, really, where do we stand before the Lord? Let's begin reading in chapter 7 and verse 12. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 12, we'll end of the read to the end of verse 23. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I'd like to draw your attention to verse 21, where the Lord Jesus speaks, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. As I said just a moment ago, I hope this is a sermon that doesn't apply to anyone here this evening. I hope everyone in the room tonight is a genuinely born again, converted believer. You know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. But I'd like to speak just for a few moments, perchance, like many of the young people, if you were to ask all of them who are with us tonight about their testimonies, you would find that many of them, not just one or two, but many of them grew up in church, looked like Christians, behaved like Christians, sounded like Christians, but really until they truly were born again by God's Spirit, they were counterfeit Christians. I was driving back from Brighton to the Birmingham area, about 3.5 hours, and it was very late into the night, and I was running out of petrol, so I stopped into a services to get petrol, and a very strange thing happened. It was late at night, my eyes were a little blurry, and the lights were dim, and as I began to pump petrol into my car, I looked in the petrol station, and there was a police officer standing just inside the door, and he had his hands on his hips, and he was looking right at me, and he stared at me. And I just kept on pumping petrol into my car. And oh, a minute or so later, I looked up and he was still there, staring at me. And I got a little worried. I wondered if I'd done something wrong, or maybe he had clocked me as I drove in, or something like that. I didn't know what was happening. And so as I walked toward the place to pay, I saw something interesting. He never moved. He never flinched. And as I walked past the automatic opening door, and there he was, there's something very interesting about that policeman. He was, as I walked by, about that thin. He was made out of cardboard. He was a cardboard cop. and I looked at this person who really I thought was real and genuine until I got close enough to see he was fake. And so I'd like to speak just for a few moments this evening on cardboard Christianity. Cardboard Christianity. Thinking about what is a counterfeit Christian. These people were so counterfeit they had deceived themselves. They said at the day of judgment when they met the Lord Jesus, Lord, they called him the Lord. They said in verse 22, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But Jesus knew the real from the counterfeit, and he told them in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And the greatest tragedy of all tragedies that could ever occur is really not what we may think it is. We may think the greatest tragedy is to grow up and never hear the gospel. That's a horrible tragedy. That's a great tragedy. That's not the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy is to grow up hearing the gospel and never believing the gospel. That's the greatest tragedy. To be given the opportunity to believe the truth and hear the gospel preached as you do. I know Reverend Higginson, and I know he's a gospel preacher. In fact, if I know correctly, tonight he's preaching the gospel at a mission somewhere. He's a gospel preacher, and this is a gospel church. And the greatest tragedy could ever be in your life and for eternity to look like a Christian and act like a Christian and speak like a Christian and perhaps even think, oh, I may be a Christian. And then on the day of judgment, find out your Christianity was cardboard. It was counterfeit. Let me just speak just for a few moments on that topic. First of all, I'd like you to notice the counterfeit defined. Let's think for a moment about why people counterfeit things. What is a counterfeit? Well, everything that has value is counterfeited. Clothes are counterfeited. Handbags are counterfeited. Jewelry is counterfeited. Banknotes are counterfeited. In fact, in the United Kingdom, 430,000 counterfeit banknotes are in circulation at every moment of every day. That's a lot of banknotes. And the most commonly counterfeited banknote is a £5 note. And if you go to certain parts of England, it's very, very common to get counterfeit notes. In fact, everything that has value is counterfeited, even DVDs. There's a gentleman in England named Tony Bartel, and Tony Bartel sold over 50,000 pounds worth of counterfeit DVDs at boot sales over the period of 4 years. He made 50,000 pounds selling £2 counterfeit DVDs. It's amazing. Anything that has value today is counterfeited. Perhaps you've been somewhere. I was able to visit China several years ago and working with some missionaries, and a little man came out of an alleyway and he had in his coat some watches, and he said, would you like to buy a watch? And I thought, well, this is all the things I've been told not to do. Don't follow someone down a dark alley who offers to buy a watch. I said, no, thank you. He said, no, these are quality watches, and they were beautiful. He showed me the watch, and he said, would you like to buy it? And I said, well, let me look at it. He said, it's Rolex. And I thought, well, how much? Something about $10, the equivalent of that. And I thought, well, I'm sure it's a genuine Rolex. I looked at it, and it said this. It looked genuine. It had all the different things. The second hand was continuous. It didn't stop. That's what Rolexes do. And I looked at it, and it said L-O-L-E-X. Lolex. And I thought, I'm pretty sure that's not a real Rolex. I think Rolex knows how to spell their name. And I didn't buy the Lolex. But he had that Rolex for sale. And you can buy Gucci handbags and Louis Vuitton handbags that are £5 each. Those, by the way, are not genuine. Those are counterfeit. And people counterfeit things that are valuable. So is it any wonder to us that the devil would counterfeit the most valuable thing in all the world? He would counterfeit Christianity. He would make it appear that someone truly knows the Savior and truly has been changed, but in reality is simply cardboard. And once you get close enough, once you peel back that veneer and look behind the scenes, you'll find there's never been true saving faith. There's never been a genuine conversion. There's never been the life of God in the soul of man in that person. And could I ask you tonight, would you ask yourself this question, where do I stand before the Lord. You see, things that are of no value aren't counterfeited. I have a few ties that I have, and I like to shop at a place that has a distinct name difference between England and Northern Ireland. When I'm in England, I shop at only the finest store. And when I'm in Northern Ireland, I go to the same very fine men's clothing store, haberdashery. And here you call it Primark, and in England you call it Primark. And I've noticed something. I've gotten a tie from Primark. You can buy three ties for £2 on sale at Primark, if you call it that. And I've noticed something. No one ever compliments my Primark ties. And every once in a while, someone will say, I like your tie, but it's never a Primark tie. And no one ever tries to counterfeit Primark ties. You don't see rip-off Cedarwood State. That's their brand. Cedarwood State ties for sale at flea markets or boot sales or things like that. You don't see things because they really have no intrinsic value. And so there's really no point in counterfeiting those things. And the devil's not interested in counterfeiting Buddhism or counterfeiting Islam. He's not interested in counterfeiting other religions. He's interested in counterfeiting Christianity and deceiving people. These people were deceived. They thought they had something that was not genuinely true. And I want to ask you a question. Are you receiving something that isn't quite right? You say, well, I've made a profession of faith in the past. As Jesus spoke, he said, we know what has happened by the fruit this tree brings forth. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit. A good tree brings forth good fruit. It's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord, but it is, am I doing the will of the Heavenly Father? How do you tell if something is counterfeit? Well, different people who deal with valuable things have ways of telling if things are counterfeit or real. A goldsmith, a jeweler, a pawnbroker can tell if something is 10 karat gold or 14 karat gold or 18 karat gold because there's a test. He can produce that to a touchstone or an acid test is applied to it and you find out how valuable that gold is. But just in that same way, perhaps have you ever had someone at a supermarket take out a little pen and you've handed them a 20-pound note and they write? I thought, what? The first time that happened here, I thought, what is someone doing? They're defacing the queen, writing on the front of a 20-pound note. But they weren't doing that. It didn't make a mark, and so it wasn't a counterfeit note. They were testing it to see if it was real. You know, the Word of God tests our Christianity. Could I give you just a few Bible verses? Let me read one from the book of 1 Corinthians just very quickly. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes in, he always makes a difference. He makes a difference in our lives. The Bible goes on with many other passages as well. Could I ask myself the test the Bible gives me? Do I love the Word of God? John chapter 15, verse 7 tells us, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, then ye shall ask what ye will. You'll bear much fruit. Are you abiding in the Word of God? Does the Word of God abide in you? Do you love the Word of God? Do you love other Christians? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us, whosoever hateth his brother, and we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Am I hating other believers? Or am I loving other believers? Do I love the Word of God? Do I love other believers? What are my desires? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Are my desires changing? My father was someone who was a drunkard. But when he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, his behavior changed. And his friends said, why did you quit drinking? You used to want to drink all the time. You used to only want to drink. And my father would say the same thing. God gave me a new wanter. He changed my desires. And God gives us a new wanter. He changes our desires when we truly belong to the Savior. What about this? What about church fellowship? If we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will, as people in the Word of God, value the fellowship God makes us a part of. We'll not want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We'll want to be faithful. We'll want to be an encouragement and exhort other believers and hear the Word of God and be under the accountability of other believers to help and go forward in the Christian life. What about things like hypocrisy? Am I living one way? At work, at school, at college, at university, at home, and then I flip a switch when I come in the church car park, and now I'm a Christian, and I act like a Christian, I talk like a Christian, but it's very different than the way I live and act at work. What about a life without chastisement? Can you live on in sin and enjoy it, and you never seem to have any difficulty? You never seem to feel the chastening of God. You never seem to feel the conviction of the arrows of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." My friend, if you can love and enjoy sin and wallow in it like a pig wallows in mire, and you like it and you run toward it, I'd like you to check your Christianity tonight and be certain where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you just secondly here to notice the cause for accepting a counterfeit. Why do people accept counterfeits? Well, just a few reasons. We'll quickly pass on with these. One of the reasons that people accept counterfeits is because they're tricked into doing it. They're deceived. I was deceived. I went to a Tesco to get out some cash from a cash point at the Tesco cash point, and I put in my card and entered an amount, and out came two or three 20-pound notes. And so I went into Tesco to buy some things with those notes. And when I went to purchase the things, guess what? One of the notes was counterfeit. And I said to the lady who is running the cash register, I said, "I just got them out of your cash point." And she said, "I'm sorry." And she handed it to a manager, and the manager put it in a shredder. And I thought, that's 20 pounds. That was my 20 pounds. How is that right? I just got that 20 pounds out of a Tesco cash point, and they've just shredded my 20 pounds. I couldn't tell the difference. It looked real. It felt the same. I didn't know the difference, but that teller knew. And I was tricked into receiving something counterfeit. And there are people all around the world. There are people in this community tonight who've been tricked into receiving a counterfeit gospel. Believing works saves them, or believing that just coming to church makes me a Christian, or whatever else that is false. But only salvation by grace through faith is genuine. And if you believed anything else, if you believe you're a Christian because your mom and dad are, or your grandparents are, or you attend church, or you're faithful, my friend, salvation is only by grace through faith. Don't be tricked by any substitutes. But other people are tricked because they want a discount. While I was in China, though I didn't buy a Rolex, someone else came and tempted me with a North Face parka, a very nice coat that would cost several hundred pounds perhaps here, and I was able to purchase one for a very, very low price. And I thought, you know what, that's a North Face coat, I'm sure it's a very nice one, and I paid, I think, the equivalent of about $7 US for it. I was cold, I didn't have a coat, and I needed a coat, and that was a good deal. Plus, it said North Face on it, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. So I paid $7, and I got it on. I felt very proud of myself, and I felt like a very good shopper until I went to take it off. And guess what happened? When I went to take it off, I couldn't take it off. And I was going in to meet some other people, and there I was, and I struggled and struggled. Have you ever seen someone trying to take a coat off, and you didn't? People must have thought I was something wrong with me, or I needed medical attention or something like that. I didn't have any condition. I was just trying to get my zipper off. And my zipper broke, and it wouldn't come loose. And then I had to crawl out of my coat that I bought for $7. I was tricked into getting something. No, I knew it was not a genuine article, paying $7 for a parka that says North Face on it. I just wanted a discount. I wanted to look like I had a real thing, but pay a very cheap price. You know, there are people like that as well. They say, "I'd like to look like a Christian. I'd like to act like a Christian. I'd like people to think of me as a Christian, but I'm certainly not willing to pay the price of being a real Christian." You know, a man came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, and the Bible says that man went away sorrowfully. Because he wanted to be a Christian, But he wasn't willing. Oh, he counted the cost, but he wasn't willing to pay the cost. To say, I'm willing to give everything for Jesus. I'm willing to live for Christ. I'm not going to live half for me and half for others. I'm going to live for Christ. I want him to be my Savior. Are you here tonight and you have a counterfeit Christianity because you just wanted a discount? Well, let me just say this. There's a calamity. The Bible tells us here what the calamity of counterfeits is. Verse 22, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of salvation, the finisher of salvation, will examine everyone. And everyone will come to light as whether genuine or counterfeit in their profession of faith. And in that day, I want you to think seriously about that day, because that day will reveal the truth. But before that day arrives, you have an opportunity to have the real thing, to accept and receive and believe the real, genuine, life-changing message, the all-wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you do, it changes your life. It makes you different. Because Jesus Christ can't come into a life of a sinner, a wretched rebel against God. Jesus Christ can't come into a life of a person like that without making a difference. He always makes a difference. The counterfeit cured. You say, how could I be cured of counterfeit Christianity? Jesus Christ came into an area, and the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that he came in, and the first sermon he preached, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, was this: repent ye and believe the gospel. What a message! Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus came in preaching. And that's what he left preaching. He said to people in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, as he ascended into heaven, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations. He came in preaching, repent and believe the gospel. And he went out preaching, repent and believe the gospel. That's a message that cures the counterfeit. And God desires to take people, rebels, enemies, sinners, wretches like me, like you, and change their lives when they by faith trust the work of Christ in his shed blood on the cross, that he was buried, he rose again. He's the living, risen Savior, and he's willing and ready and able to save anyone who will come to him by faith for salvation. I want you to know something. God wants to make something beautiful of your life you could never make of your own. When I was just about 13 years old, I went to what you would call a boot sale, what we call in the United States yard sales. My mother was there, and I saw a very strange instrument. It looked like a large violin. I had no idea what it was, and I asked the lady how much it cost. She said 75 cents. Now, that's the equivalent of about 40p. And it had a sack tied to it and lots of metal parts. So I took it home. I didn't know what it was. And I took it to the music teacher at school. And she said, oh, you know what you have? I said, no, what is it? She said, it's a cello. Would you mind if I took it and had it evaluated? I said, sure, certainly do that. She took it to a gentleman who remade violins and worked on fine instruments. And he said, would you mind to come and see me? So we went to see him. And he said, this is a cello. And just with a bit of work, I could make it something that I think would be very valuable. And so we said, well, you do whatever you'd like. A few weeks passed, and my father and my mother drove me, 13 years old, to this place. We went down to this gentleman's workshop, and there was a beautiful cello. And he said, this is a Stradivarius copy from Czechoslovakia, built around 1914 to 1918. And he said, how much did you pay for it? I said, 75 cents. And he said, well, the way it is now, it's worth about $4,600. And I thought, that's amazing. Here's something that someone was going to throw away. A worthless piece of junk, you could say. It was unrecognizable. It was in pieces. But then I took it to someone who knew what to do with it, knew its value, knew how to make it work. And it turned into being the most valuable thing I'd ever owned. That's what Jesus Christ wants to do with you. He wants to take your life, and people say, yeah, it's a mess. You may even say, I don't even know how to fix it myself. But if you'll give it to Jesus, He'll change you, and He'll make something valuable out of your life that will be the most precious thing, and not only help you, but help so many others through you. I'm saying to you, there's a Savior who can change your life. Don't settle for counterfeit Christianity. If God is speaking to you tonight, it may be difficult to say, I need Christ. But He's able to save those who humbly come to Him. Genuine saving faith is all that will truly work on the day we meet Jesus. Do you know the Savior? Let's bow in prayer together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the truth of Thy Word, and we thank Thee for this reminder. We thank Thee for the leading of the Holy Spirit that places these things on our hearts, and we pray that even tonight, if there's someone in this room who needs the Savior, that they would come by faith tonight and trust in Him alone for their soul's salvation. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this church. We pray that it would be blessed. Continue to bless the work here, and may the gospel light continue to shine. We pray for the fellowship that we'll have after the conclusion of the meeting. We pray the food would be blessed to our bodies, and we pray we'd make it home safely by Thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.